Thank you for listening to Sweet Lemon Radio.
Hi, Unika. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for asking. I want you, if you don't mind, to tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Well, my name is Unika. I am from Chicago. Born and raised, I am a singer, songwriter, producer, videographer, community activist, and many other things. But I've been writing and singing for a very long time. I also do a lot of performances and touring as well, and have been doing that for quite a while as well also. And I currently have projects coming out every month on all of the streaming platforms. So that's every month this year I'll be releasing another, three to five song project pretty much every month this year. So That's me in a nutshell.
Okay, that's pretty cool. What made you get into singing? I know a lot of people, you hum in the shower or, depending on wherever you worship, you may do some singing there. But what brought you into the singing world?
It was a few different things. Number one, my mom is a piano player and played the piano for our church as I was growing up. And of course, with that, I was in the choir naturally. And my father also was in the choir. He would get lots of leads. I just felt drawn to music. I felt like it was in my blood. It just ran through my blood. And every time I would hear, soul singing, like Stevie Wonder, or, a lot of the old school songs, I would just really be moved and called to sing. So I didn't really start doing like solo work until I was like maybe 11 or 12. But all the time before that, I was like, I want to sing. Mm-hmm. And of course, mostly it was all church choir type of things, community events and that sort of thing. And then as I got older, it ventured off and I fell in love with R&B and soul music and songwriting. And from that, I fell in love with pretty much all genres of music. Mm-hmm. And went on to actually study in college jazz and opera and classical and some of the other genres that are not necessarily normal for, a young black girl from the church to sing. So I always thought that it was a way to deliver a message, whether it's a message of inspiration or, social change or love, in a very passionate and creative way. And I wanted to do my best to try to master that skill. So
that's pretty much my origin. That's inspiring. So you said that you went to school. What school did you go to?
So here in Illinois, I went to Harper College, and then also went to Columbia College here in Chicago.
Okay. I know about both of those schools. I was raised in Illinois, born in Indiana, so.
Oh, cool.
Yes.
Okay.
I was definitely inspired when I heard you sing. I said, and growing up, I loved music as well. So I really loved Anita Baker, and when I heard you sing that song, I said, most young people are not singing Anita Baker. So
yes, I love old school music, and I feel like, a lot has been, I don't want to say lost, because I think we're coming back around to where music and musicianship is going to be featured in the next couple of years, but I feel like, we have to study where we came from, and we have to pay proper honor to the people who paved the way. And Anita Baker, to be honest, I feel like she's so underrated,
She is.
Yeah, a lot of people who understand, her legacy really get it. But, as I was, kind of studying up on her and, how she stepped out of the industry for a little bit and then came back, I was like, people really don't know how cold Anita Baker is, It will literally be no Toni Braxton if it was not an Anita Baker. You can even hear hints of it in Erykah Badu and Jill Scott, and a lot of that. She took that. She graduated the old school jazz era into, you know, the new art. Well, the old school, now old school R&B era. And you know, I'll have a passion for that era of music because I feel like, you know, sometimes it can get lost.
Yeah, I completely agree with your voice. It's funny that you say that you like jazz as well, because I could hear you doing some of that. Is it that 40s music that they used to sing? Yeah. I could really see you doing that.
So, yeah, I love it. And honestly, I think a lot of singers really need to go back and study that time period. If you listen to like people like Ella Fitzgerald and Sarah Vaughan, they were vocally doing amazing things that you don't even hear artists doing nowadays. You know, you would think that music evolves, and it definitely should. And don't get it twisted. We have some very, you know, cold singers out here, but it's, you know, as I was digging through listening to a lot of the old stuff, I played Sarah Vaughan recently in a play in Chicago here, and in that I wanted to really study and grasp the energy and the essence of that particular character in that time genre, so that I can embody that in my performance. And I, you know, I was blown away, like, oh my God, I can't do these things, you know, so it's amazing. And, you know, my goal is to kind of channel that energy and bring it into this time period to inspire.
I think that's really good. That's good. And I can see you doing that. Definitely. So, are you a writer as well? Do you write music?
Yes, I definitely am a songwriter. I'm a songwriter. I pretty much write what comes to my heart. You know, I randomly am inspired. Sometimes I hear some music and, you know, I'm like, oh, I hear this to it. I have a lot of songs out on the streaming platform, Spotify and stuff like that. And I would say like 99.9% of everything that you hear on there is the songs that I wrote. And it's very diverse, so it's not like, I cannot stick to one topic. You know how a lot of artists is like, you'll only hear them singing about love. Yeah, that's totally not me.
I like that, because sometimes your emotion is love, and sometimes it's I can't stand you, and sometimes it's I just want to party and I don't care about anything else.
I try to be very diverse in writing, especially if I feel like I have a song. It's a very old song I wrote called War, and I wrote it, and I'll send it to you actually, but I wrote it it was a moment where I saw a really horrible police brutality. And of course, you know, I'm a social activist, so, you know, of course I give my 2 cents to the police when I see that sort of thing. But I wanted to embody that emotion and translate that into a song, you know what I mean? Because it's so rare that we hear like theme music for, you know, like the Black Lives Matter rallies and, you know, the stuff that's going on that really touches our hearts. Sometimes we're so numb to it, we let the moment pass and then it's back to like, oh, my boyfriend, I love, or, you know, and I'm like, we need to be a little bit more woke, as everybody likes to say now, so that we can be proactive about ending these cycles of things that happen. So, that was a song that I wrote, and it was really embraced by a lot of different aspects of the movement, of different movements, especially the police brutality part. You know, and it just really, to me, meant a lot because it was that aspect of being diverse in writing, you know. And I think that's important for writers to be able to write. If you're a writer, you should be able to write about anything.
Exactly. Yeah. I believe that as well. I was going to ask you about you being an activist. I want to ask you before I ask you to sing anything. Are all of your songs published?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, all of the ones that I released, I published, yeah.
Okay. in a little bit, if you don't mind, I would like to hear your song about being an activist. But what? So it is the is it the Black Lives Matter events? Is that what made you want to be an activist, or is it something personal in your life that made you want to be out there and become an activist?
It was a series of things that happened. I grew up in, I'm still in Chicago. Right now I'm in the Inglewood community, and I don't know how much publicity Chicago and Inglewood gets around the nation, but, you know, when you look it up, it has been one of the most dangerous communities in pretty much in the nation. And I grew up here and on the west side of Chicago. In my experience, you know, the ghetto is the ghetto pretty much nationwide. There's certain similarities in things. You don't see the liquor stores and then the church on the next corner. You don't see drugs. And
I'm sorry for laughing, but you know I'm from Illinois, so I'm like, there's a liquor store in every corner.
So you see, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes.
And it's weird because as I'm, you know, been able to go in different parts of the nation, I see the similarities, you know, in different areas. It's not all exactly the same, but the theme of the hood is the same, and the energy and the poverty and stuff like that.
Right.
But the series, I'll keep it brief, but the series of events were when I had transitioned from Chicago to a suburb of Illinois, which was vastly different. And for me, I had culture shock because I had visited other places. But to live in a neighborhood that's affluent and see the difference in the quality of life from that area to where I came from, you know, it was a culture shock. And so when I came back, so I lived in that area, the affluent area, for a couple of years, and I was like, you know what, I felt like a fish out of water. I was like, you know, sometimes you're just comfortable in the environment that you came from, but my eyes were open a lot more when I came back. Like, why, you know, I saw things differently. I saw things that I was blinded and numb to before. And so when I came back, I saw the blatant, it's almost like God put it right in front of my face. So the first incident that happened was I was staying at my grandma's house in West Garfield in Chicago, which is very hood, and very filled with police corruption. And I looked out my window and I saw it had to be 25 young boys from the ages of 5 to maybe 12, 13 years old, all in handcuffs, lined up in handcuffs. And they ran out of handcuffs, so they started using the little plastic handcuffs. And I'm like, what? Why? How do you handcuff a 5-year-old? What did a 5-year-old do that's necessary for you to put him in handcuffs? And I looked down the street and I saw the guys who I know that run the block talking to the police and making their little exchanges and stuff. And so, like I said, it was as if I saw the corruption right in my face. I saw the machine that operates why the hood is the way it is. And it started to, you know, I got so angry, and it made me say, you know, what can we do about this? And of course, I went out and did my with the NAACP, you know, and of course, they immediately let the children go. And the response I got from the community was amazing because they were like, we never seen nobody stand up like that before. But I'm like, my parents were a part of nonprofit organizations, so I came from a state of mind of we are always supposed to give back to the community. But at this point, I was a little bit more revolutionary about it. So, you know, and it was out of emotion. It was really out of emotion. I had a young son at the time, and my thinking was, what if my child was out there playing with his friends and his neighbors at that time? You know what I mean? And every black child is my child. That's how I feel about it. And so So it just put that on my heart and opened my eyes, and everywhere I looked, I saw the game. Right. and layers of it and layers of it. And so that became a huge part of my journey. But as of recent, I laid back more off of the social activism hands-on part, because when you're in that world, you can't get caught up in the rallies and the getting arrested and all of that stuff. And I know specifically God gave me a gift and a tool for a purpose. Mm-hmm. And one of the people who I also ran into in my journey was Raheem Devine, the artist, mm-hmm. Who's amazing. And he told me, he said, you can reach more people with your music than you can, you know, in a rally.
Exactly.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. that kind of made me say, let me put more focus on getting my music out here, and not just the social activism stuff, because that's a slice of who I am, but all of it in its totality, the sexy stuff, the love stuff, the family stuff, the God stuff, all of the different pieces that make up what a strong woman should be, and put that on the forefront musically and through everything, through all aspects of art, because like I said, I'm a singer, but I love every aspect of art. I also paint, you know, I do a lot of different creative, like if you came to my house, this is very much like a museum, a creative space.
Wow.
Because I think, you know, you are supposed to reach people in all those facets. So mm-hmm. so if that journey made me more well-rounded to say, this is a piece of who I am, but I can't allow that to consume me, just like I can't allow love or broken heart to consume me. You know, mm-hmm. we have to be balanced as women, especially in this day and time, because we're called upon to do a lot, especially in our communities. We need to just have a balanced frame of mind and spirit to be able to do that, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
I definitely appreciate what Raheem said to you. Once you get to a certain place, and yes, if you are speaking knowledge, then everybody's open to listen and they may follow what you're saying. But once you get to where you really need to be, then you have more ears that are going to hear you. But if you're locked in prison, nobody's going to hear you. So yeah, he's speaking correctly. So he's not saying don't stand up for what you believe in, but he's just saying hold on for a second. Let's move you a little bit. So
let's do it with some strategy. A lot of times we're so emotional or reactive. That's what I don't like about the rallies and stuff. You know, we don't have to rally about everything, because while we rally and other groups of people are meeting and formulating and they're looking at the long game, so we have to be strategic with everything that we do. And that's in our personal lives, you know, that applies to financial planning and family planning and all of that. That everything takes strategy, and that's mm-hmm. something I bumped my head a bunch of times mm-hmm. before I finally learned. Mm-hmm. You know, it was definitely a process, but I appreciate every aspect of the journey, definitely.
Right, and I definitely I love individualism, but I like to be cohesive as well. So you know, anything that's going to bring people together and bring about positivity, that's what I'm more so for. It's, you know, because fighting and killing people is not going to really solve the situation. You can't fight fire with fire. But, you know,
exactly.
somebody has to have some logic in it.
Exactly.
To be able to bring about some sort of change. But, okay, so if you don't mind, can you tell people how they can find you?
Sure. So I have a website, which is uneqka.com, and that's pretty much a hub for all of my social media platforms, as well as all of the music streaming platforms, and it has other interesting things on it. To be honest, I'm an Instagram head. I'm so addicted to Instagram. So if you want to talk to me directly, just hit my inbox up, direct message me on Instagram. I'm on there a lot more than like Facebook. And then the major main music platform, I'm on all of the different music platforms. So definitely, you know, if you have Tidal or Apple or whatever, just type that name up and everything will come up. But I'm an Instagram head and a Spotify head.
Okay, perfect. Can you Can you say your Instagram name and then your Spotify information? That way they can pull it up.
Sure. So it's so on Instagram, if you type in UNEQ apostrophe KA musically art, then you'll see me. As soon as you type up UNEQKA, that you'll see me with the army hat on.
Okay.
And that's my page. And then Spotify is the same, UNEQ apostrophe KA. And you'll that's pretty much all of the music that I have out thus far. I'm releasing a new project on the 5th of April. So that's exciting. That's mm-hmm. not going to be socially activist at all.
Okay, congratulations. I mean, but the thing is that no matter what the songs are about, they can touch people in any way. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'll hear a song yeah. and you may be thinking love off of that song and I'm thinking inspiration. You know?
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm.
So I listen to your music.
That's the feedback I'm getting. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the feedback I'm getting. I'll write a song for one thing and another person will be like, well, does that mean this? And I'm like, sure.
For you, it does.
Yeah, whatever, however you need it to work for you.
Right.
To inspire you, because that's the whole goal at the end of the day. You know, I want to spice the inspiration for every aspect of life.
Exactly. Exactly. So, do you travel and go to different states or cities to do shows?
Yes, I do. So I perform a lot, like a ridiculous amount. And that's just as of the last couple of years. So I perform with a band called 17th Floor. And that's usually if I'm traveling, I'm with that particular band. And it's such a beautiful, lucky story. They were the backing band for TLC and Usher back in the day.
Okay.
So their whole professionalism and everything is amazing. And so I just got back from Mississippi a few days ago with them, and I'll be going to Louisiana and back to Mississippi. We do Ohio a lot, Atlanta, a lot of different spots.
Okay.
And then of course, yeah. And then I have my own band, music company called Conscious Evolution Music.
Mm-hmm.
And we pretty much are based in the Midwest, so we do lots of shows throughout Chicago, Indiana, Wisconsin, that sort of thing. So I'm usually bouncing between both of those in terms of out of town. I'm trying to get out there more. I definitely want to get to Atlanta.
Okay, so we're going to keep you posted on
yes.
on everything.
Yes, I love it.
I know it's really weird how things happen, and as soon as I heard your voice, I'm like, oh my gosh, okay, I have to talk to her.
Thank you, I appreciate that. That's what I'm trying to do, is just be that beacon so that, you know, we can have conversations and wonderful interviews like this.
Exactly, we need that. Do you mind singing your activist song for us?
Sure, I got a couple of them, so. I will sing one that is on Spotify. It's called Brighter Day, Soften the Peace and Balance. Okay. It goes, and this is just a piece, so this is like the second verse of it. So it goes, nobody told you we were free. It's just another face of an honor in me. We stop fighting, and now more of our people are dying. Let us stray from the brighter day. Somebody hears the truth and build our head with light. But we never opened up our eyes. But we wouldn't rise, but to their surprise, we have found our brighter day. Teaching the next generation the right way. So don't tell me about the struggle my life is having to us. So every night for these children operate. Sometimes it's hard to understand the life in God's plan, but I know I see a brighter day. Brighter day, yeah, 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 yeah. And then it Go on, girl.
Thank you.
You
know, you give me a Lauryn Hill, India RE vibe.
Oh, I love it. Those are two of my favorite artists.
Are you kidding me? Yes, I definitely, I feel that. Girl.
Yes, that's awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yes, you can blow. You can blow.
Thank you. And please excuse me. I literally am getting over a cold, so I probably sound a little crazy. Just touch.
No, you sound great. So if you sound better without a cold, then excuse me.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. It's the Chicago weather is crazy up here right now.
It's crazy everywhere. Unfortunately, the weather keeps going back and forth. So, you know, here in Atlanta, it's summer one day and winter the next. So,
yeah, that's exactly. We just went through that in Chicago. I'm like, what is happening? Yeah.
And we just go with the flow, turtleneck one day and hey, sundress the next.
Exactly. Right, exactly.
Yeah. But, Unika, I appreciate you taking the time out. I want to ask one more thing, and then because I don't want to keep you too long, but you say that you also, you draw or you paint?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
It,
so, yeah, I do a couple of different mediums of art. So, I paint. I have been taught by one of my dear friends and partners, Joe Flo, who's a master painter and master artist. I do have some artwork on Instagram. I'm also studying to do tattoos. I've been apprenticing under him as well for that. But I do
everything.
I do wood burning. I do glass etching. I'm a multi-dimensional artist, so any time I can get, I actually feel so weird. I do puppetry, so I make life-size puppets.
You're a genius. Like, you do everything.
Thank you. Yeah, I do a lot of stuff, and I don't put everything on, because a lot of times here in Chicago, I work with the schools, mm-hmm. and I work in theater, so I do digital theater design and set design, which I've been blessed to have work featured at, like, Chicago theater from huge audiences, and while I'm acting at the same time, it's been, like, my life has been amazing in terms of, like, the opportunities, but I also teach workshops throughout the Midwest, so, you know, and it's so weird because I'll have the oddest request. Like earlier this year, one of the schools in Inglewood, they were like, we need like a 7-foot dragon, like a parade dragon. Mm-hmm. So I went back into my brain.
Oh my gosh.
When I took a couple, because I actually took puppetry classes while I was at Columbia, mm-hmm. because I was also still teaching art in several different schools in Chicago at that time. So yeah, I made a 7-foot dragon.
Mm-hmm.
That one came out beautifully. You know, he had nice ivory sharp teeth and I was proud of how it came out. So, you know, I love challenging myself in that aspect too. And I've kind of stepped slightly a little bit away just so I can really push the music forward, because I'll get lost in art. I'll be so, because I also sew as well, the costume designs.
Girl.
You know, it's funny because if you're a creative person, nine times out of ten, you have a multitude of creative aspects.
Mm-hmm,
and that's what
true.
I'm loving about the new artists that's coming out, like Summer Walker and her. Like, they sing, but they also play instruments. And wait till their lives unfold. You know, you're going to see them doing more things, because that creative vortex, it will pull you in and draw things out of you to inspire people, you know, and I always pray, like, just allow me to be a vessel to translate the creativity, you know, and bring it forth, and really to have fun and show people how to have fun. That's the one thing that I think our people need, is to learn, get back to that hands-on, you know, skip all the drama and all of the ghetto hood stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get creative. That's how hip-hop was made, you know.
Off of fun.
And I element.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the times where people will sit around at the garbage can and do harmonies and stuff, we have to bring back that.
Passing the wine. Sharing one bottle, yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
We're sounding good.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, so that's what I hope and wish to inspire, and I know that there will be a season that I'll dive back into the physical artistry to complement the singing and stuff like that. But the singing, that's like the beacon, that's like the alarm, and it's it's my first passion and my first art, and one that I love so much. So it's like, you know, you use it or you lose it. That's right. How I feel. And I think that's what with everybody's gifts, you know, you are never too old or too young to push yourself to the next level and perfect your craft. We can do anything we literally put our minds to. You know, we have this lifetime to really expand and experience life to the fullest, because it's not promised to us. So that's my motto.
Exactly. Well, I thank you so much for allowing me to interview you. Of course, we're going to keep in contact. We have other